Approve a top plan simply means that you agree with what is in it, but a top plan is not worth the paper it's written on if the State Board of Education does not approve it. The department has to review it. They have to decide whether or not they are agreeable to letting us exercise that option. I am still trying to pull out all the stops and come to terms with Charter Schools USA.
So that's the attorney for the school board. That's Ellen Odom talking about the Warrington Middle School challenges that they have on Friday and saying that, look, they're creating a plan whereby they have an alternative, you know, something else that they can do come, well, tomorrow when the Department of Education is going to have a meeting and decide what exactly are we doing with Warrington Middle School, because the problem is they don't actually have a solution, even yet.
But in the event that fails, in the event it takes more time than either of us has, and DOE says, you know, the school has to close.
Which, if you heard the meeting on Friday, it's a very fast meeting. The first time I've ever been able to say that about the school board in history. It was a fast meeting. It was only about 15 minutes long. And if you listened to it, like I did, you might have been confused by what was happening. It's understandable why people would be confused, because the first thing that came out that was in the backup material was that we were going to have a redistricting. The part B was a redistricting, and they opened the meeting with the superintendent trying to push that off, basically, and drop that item. Well, the redistricting is if Warrington closes. You know, you got to do something with the students who are at Warrington, so what do you do? Well, you split them up between Bailey and Workman, because those are the only ones that are close enough that have, you know, high enough school grades. You can't send them to Bellevue because that's a school that's already in turnaround. So this is a challenge. What do you do with them? Well, they came up with a plan. And then the part A, the part that they were discussing and voting on, was, okay, what do we do if Charter Schools USA doesn't reach an agreement with the Escambia County School District, or I guess now rebranded the Escambia County Public Schools? What do you do? Well, the answer is you close the school, because it's Charter Schools USA or nothing, right? And the nothing is you close the school, and you got to wait a year or two and then figure out if you're going to reopen it as a magnet school or, you know, what you're going to do exactly. So they voted to approve the plan to close the school, but that's not what they're doing. What they're doing is they're giving the superintendent the kind of the plan slash authority for the staff in case they have to close the school, because they don't want to close the school. They want to work out a deal with Charter Schools USA, but they don't have such a deal yet. And so they've got a tomorrow, there's a meeting of the school board, the state school board, the Department of Education school board, and they're going to go before them and say, all right, I know May 1st was the deadline, but my dog ate my paper, and there was a leak in the roof, and the car had a flat, and I overslept, and plus, I'm, you know, it's my time of the month, so, I mean, give me some time. I mean, I don't know what else they're going to do, but they're going to go to them and say, you know, give us more time, because I know we failed to meet the deadline. It's been 2 weeks, but we don't have a deal even yet. Please don't make us close the school. And we'll see how that turns out.
The fact of the matter is we are up against very hard deadlines.
Exactly. So you're asking for an extension. And by the way, there's kind of a third issue here, and it's aside from the do you close it or do you have a Charter Schools USA agreement to open it, to keep it open as a middle school? And that's that even if you close it, the school board might get punished by the state. There's a whole handful of things that the state might do to us financially as punishment for failing to do right by this failing school, basically, which is, you know, given the tone of the Department of Education meetings over the last couple of times when we've watched them, They're so angry at Escambia County over this. Warrington is the school that has been in so-called turnaround the longest of any in the state, as in it's a DRF school for the longer than any other school in the state. They're angry. And I entirely anticipate that tomorrow's meeting is going to be what in the actual, you know, kind of, you guys really? And okay, fine. I don't know whether they're going to give them more time or not. I really don't know. Because I know the state doesn't want to close the school either. They recognize that would be bad for everybody. But if you don't have a deal with Charter Schools USA, then you can't make a school open with no operator. Somebody's got to operate it. It can't be Escambia County. So I very much anticipate probably by 75% chance that we're going to get some or all of these financial penalties against us. And so we'll see.
By approving this plan, it would eliminate, the superintendent would have the plan previously approved by the board that he could then submit to the State Board of Education.
But again, this doesn't mean they're closing the school. This just means we're sending the superintendent over there with a, 18 pounds of bacon. Please forgive me. We got this other plan.
This is not a vote of the board to submit the plan to the State Board of Education in order to close the school. It is simply to create the contingency.
And again, just to kind of clarify, this is all Ellen Oden. She's the attorney for the school board talking. The SAZAC is the redistricting plan. That's just the acronym they use for the press. Some of these organizations and the way they do their acronyms, it's not useful for the public who try to watch the meetings, but there it is. It's the way they speak. Anyway, so that's the redistricting plan or process. And they're basically saying, let's wait on that until Tuesday, because if we approve the redistricting, that seems like we're closing the school. And we don't want just yet to send the message that we're closing the school. Bad enough we're already approving the plan to close the school, even though that's a contingency plan. We don't want to approve the redistricting because everybody's going to think we're just closing the school.
I would recommend that the board postpone this to Tuesday night's meeting.
Okay.
If there is, there can be further discussion once.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we table item 2B.
Postpone
until Tuesday night.
Postpone until Tuesday night. Okay. Postpone until Tuesday night.
Second.
That's Bill Slayton. That's Bill Slayton, a little confused on the procedure there, but basically postponing it until Tuesday. Patty Hightower?
I just want to reiterate that as we continue our conversations with Charter USA, my main desire is that we get confirmation that the students of the Warrington area will be served.
Which is the thing that you keep hearing, is that the goal, of course, for the school board is to make sure the students have a place to go. And I can understand their worry is that people watching this meeting or reading the news coverage, which hasn't been all that, much since the Friday meeting, that they're going to think, oh, my God, they're closing the school. They approved this plan to close the school. No, just, even though it was only a 15-minute meeting, it's really fairly simple. They did not approve that plan. They're still trying to find a solution. But if Charter Schools USA won't go, they still have to find a place for these students.
I will echo the sentiments of the board members and superintendent, in that our number one priority is making sure those students get the best education that can be brought to them.
And again, just to be clear, that's Paul Fetsko, the board chair.
What this is making sure things are in place that students will not be uncertain that they have a place for next fall. If there is no agreement that's reached, those students will be served, and the plans are going forward.
So where do we stand? Nobody knows. Which seems to be kind of the status quo for the school board. They can't get a deal worked out with Charter Schools USA yet. They're hopeful for it, but they don't have it. There was a memo from the superintendent basically explaining that. They're trying, but they don't have it yet. So the turnaround option plan, they call that the TOP plan, by the way, TOP, that's what that stands for. They're going to bring that to the State Department of Education tomorrow, and we'll see. you know, bets taking. We got 3-1 odds on this and 2-1 odds on that. And, you know, like I said, one way or the other, we're going to either have them say, yes, keep negotiating or close the school. And either way, we might also see penalties that could be fairly robust against the school district. 521 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Wake up, people. You're optimizing every waking hour of your life, from carpooling kids to work to friends and everything in between. You have to get sleep and a bed that can perform as well as you do. Meet the next generation Sleep Number Smart Bed. It effortlessly adjusts to your shape, position, and movements, learning how you sleep so you learn to sleep better night after night. Sleep next level, only from Sleep Number. Save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed, plus free home delivery when you add an adjustable base. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com.
This morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Get better health with scientifically proven technology that's not going to the gym, diet supplements, pharmaceuticals, or medical treatment. Hear how OsteoStrong helps many improve bone density, posture, balance, athletic performance, and less joint and back pain. Find out more this morning at 10:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Text alerts are a great way to stay informed and connected. They're quick, easy, and convenient.
So what are you waiting for?
Download the News Radio Pensacola app and opt in for push notifications.
Good morning, 523 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, hot. It's going to be like 90, 91 today. Whee! Yeah, good for us. How about that? Oh, man. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
President Biden wants states to help strengthen background checks on gun buyers under 21. He says that would slow the pace of mass shootings. He made that appeal in a weekend op-ed in USA Today. He wrote that he plans to call for states to enact laws to give the federal background check system access to all the records that could prohibit someone under the age of 21 from purchasing a firearm. The Writers Guild of America strike still ongoing, Andrew. That strike, of course, began after the WGA's contract with the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers expired earlier this month. And newly announced Twitter CEO Linda Yaccarino now giving her thanks to Elon Musk on the platform. She tweeted that she's long been inspired by his vision to create a brighter future. And she says she's excited to build Twitter 2.0.
All right, this is just, you're going to have to bear with me on this one. This is just how my brain works, okay? Writers Guild of America strike?
Yes.
Right? WGA, okay? You got to kind of be careful about how you might say an acronym, but I've come up with one. You ready? This is how we can say it. Candy, probably maybe so. David, maybe not so much. Do you remember an old stand-up video game called Kung Fu Master where you would go back and forth, level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4, level 5, and fight off? Going left to right and right to left with kicks and punches. Nobody.
Kung Fu Master. Yeah, no.
Okay,
no.
Fine. Mm-hmm. In that game, big attacks would always be. Wooga!
Oh, nice.
Wooga! That's the.
Nice.
Yeah, it wasn't really worth all that time, was it? All right, David Wayne's in the newsroom.
I mean, it was a good build-up.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm not sure it paid off the way I hoped it would. Mostly because Candy doesn't know this video game.
Kung Fu Master right now.
Whatever, it's only one of the best games ever made. 525 on News Radio 92.3. Because I need you. That's so true. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth is fantastic. You know that she sold over 230 homes last year, over 200 the year before. I mean, it's crazy the number of homes. She had over 65, I think it was, as of April 1st, like half sold, half under contract at that point already, which is crazy. So, well, on track to having another fantastic year. But, you know, one of the things that I always kind of, I don't know, I do a little bit of a disservice to you because I always talk about her in terms of selling homes. And that's true, okay? She's great at selling homes. But really, the other side of it is buying a home. And you might form the mistaken belief that, like, well, what can she do for me buying a home? Well, think of it this way. If you're buying a home, who's the best person to help you figure out how to persuade that homeowner and that homeowner's real estate agent to sell you the home? Like, what's the right bid to make? What kind of things can and can't be negotiated? What is a winning bid going to look like, right? Well, how do you make them want to sell you their home? Well, Christina knows why. Because she knows how to sell the home. She knows the buyer's or the seller's perspective so well that she's an invaluable asset on the buying side. And even she was telling me they can even get good deals on new builds, which you might think, well, that's just, you know, the price is the price. Not so much. Not these days, especially. So whether you are selling or buying a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty are a great use to you. 723-9158. 723-9158. 527 on News Radio 92.3. This has been something that has been on my, like, I want to share this with you for, my goodness, this is going to sound ridiculous, but like 7 or 8 months. It's just been nagging me that I want to tell you about this. And it's not a big thing, but I keep, like, for whatever reason, not doing it. It's a very small thing, but you'll know exactly what I mean when I tell you. If you drive around town, you'll notice at intersections that the traffic lights are different. And I don't mean that the lights are turned sideways, although that's true. That seems to be the new standard, you know, which is, I mean, that's been that way for quite a while. What you'll notice is, especially at state road intersections, so you're talking like US 29 and Brent Lane and Airport and Davis and, you know, others as well, but, you know, any of the state roads, if you look at the traffic lights themselves, around the outside of the traffic light, there's a yellow border, a yellow frame. It kind of looks like somebody took a side panel off of the bus and cut it out in a rectangle and then cut an interior and stuck the traffic signal in the middle of that. So there's this bright yellow frame and it makes the lights very vivid. It makes them very easily seen from a long distance. It's reflective material. So it shows up great when it's like, you know, sundown or, you know, when the sun is low or when there's headlights on it at night, whatever. And if you had noticed this, you might wonder what's going on. Well, the short answer is this is a new standard for traffic signal visual presentation for safety's sake to make it easier to see them from a distance or in, you know, fog conditions and things like that. And it's basically the answer is that whenever FDOT is resurfacing or renovating or working on a road, plus other places a little bit, but basically as they get the time or the attention, they're gradually changing all of the lights over to this. And it's interesting because right now we're a mix. Like if you're at, I'm trying to think of some of the ones where it is and it isn't. I think at like Creighton and Lanier, it is different. I think at Davis and Creighton, these are roads I travel on. I think that one's not been done yet. If you're on Old Palafox at Airport, like one direction has been done and one direction hasn't been done. The place I first saw this was US 29 and Brent. That one's been done for quite a while. And I kind of asked, you know, Wes Moreno, who's our county administrator, he's like, because he's a roads guy, he's like, you have to ask FDOT. So I asked FDOT, and basically they said, yeah, as we go through and, you know, do resurfacing or restriping, we're basically, we have a list of things that we check to make sure that our roads are up to our current standards of whatever, all the different things that roads are supposed to match up, all the, you know, the list. And that's one of the list items. And if the traffic signals are not, they don't have the bright yellow border around them, well, we change it to that. So there you go. I mean, it's not a big, and it, by the way, this is a standard in other places, as I've noticed this, like I said, 7 or 8 months ago, and then you go drive to other places, you see it as a standard outside of the state of Florida. But just if you've been wondering, like, what's going on with that, there's your answer. It's a new standard for FDOT, and they're gradually changing them all over time.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says he expects to meet again tomorrow with congressional leaders about raising the nation's debt limit to avoid debt default as soon as June 1st. Talks among staff continued over the weekend.
California Democratic Congressman Ro Khanna says the best way to get a cash infusion is to go to those who have more of it.
We would make sure that billionaires had to pay at least a 25% minimum tax.
Florida Republican Congressman Byron Donalds argues
it's time to bring spending levels back to pre-COVID.
Both appeared on Fox News Sunday.
Fox's Grinnell Scott. Turkey's presidential election goes to a runoff in 2 weeks. Recep Tayyip Erdogan's been in power in Turkey for 20 years.
He's performed much better than opinion polls suggested, falling only just short of the 50% mark needed to win. His main challenger, Kemal Kılıçdaroğlu, promised a more democratic, more secular future.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31. News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. 73 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola this morning. Governor Ron DeSantis still has not declared that he'll be running for president, but he was meeting voters in Iowa over the weekend. NBC's Ali Raffa.
The signs in Iowa this weekend said DeSantis 2024.
We must reject the culture of losing that has infected our party in recent years.
And the Florida governor ramped up his veiled attacks on the GOP's frontrunner, former President Trump.
The time for excuses is over.
And this is after Trump attacked DeSantis in a new ad. In a video posted Friday, former President Trump called him Ron DeSanctimonious again and said he needed a personality transplant. Trump also called DeSantis's recent foreign travels a, quote, total bomb. An Alabama woman and her stepfather, who apparently is also her boyfriend, are now charged with murder in the death of a two-month-old child. A death investigation began last month in Escambia, Alabama. And the child reportedly showed signs of head trauma and several bruises on the body when they died. The mother, 24-year-old Shelby Comalander, and her stepfather and boyfriend, 48-year-old Larry Jackson, now both arrested, both charged with murder and aggravated child abuse. Jackson also facing charges for possession of methamphetamine, both being held in the Escambia County, Alabama jail with no bond. The American Red Cross held a workshop to help folks get ready for hurricane season and the potential for operating an evacuation shelter over the weekend. Now, that happened Saturday in Milton. During the workshop, they taught fundamentals of operating an evacuation shelter, also gave people some practice in that. The Red Cross encouraging everybody to get ready for hurricane season, which starts in just over 2 weeks now. And two people were taken to the hospital after apparently crashing into a building during a chase with Pensacola police yesterday. PPD say they were chasing a Ford Mustang, which had been stolen recently during an armed carjacking in a Whataburger parking lot. Officers spotted that car near Pace and Cervantes on Sunday. That led to the chase. The vehicle then reportedly hit the side of a building and flipped. Both people inside were taken to Baptist Hospital after that crash. Right now, no word on the severity of their injuries or the charges against them. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first morning weather update. We're going to be seeing a beautiful warm day today with temperatures rising near 91 degrees, plenty of humidity with a 40% chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. Staying warm for your Tuesday with a 30% chance of afternoon showers and thunderstorms. High on Tuesday near 87 degrees. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 73. Rain chances continue for Wednesday with a 50% chance of rain with a high near 86. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. 73 right now. Partly cloudy in Pensacola. 77 in Gulf Breeze. 73 in Milton. Our next news at 6 o'clock. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Pensacola. News Radio 92.3 has it all. Pensacola Morning News, Pep Talk, Pensacola Right Now, Brian Kilmeade, Dave Ramsey. Local news, Fox News, WEAR News, traffic on the fives, Florida State football, election coverage, hurricane coverage, breaking news and weather coverage. News Radio 92.3, now heard on 95.3 and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
Escambia County is full of opportunities, and your next opportunity could be right around the corner.
On Thursday, May 18th, Escambia County is hosting a career fair from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center. This is your opportunity to speak with hiring managers and apply for your next career in person.
See our current openings and learn more at myescambia.com/careers.
We'll see you at the Escambia County Career Fair on May 18th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Pensacola Bay Center.
Bands on the Beach is back. Bring a lawn chair or a towel and enjoy live music at the stage on Pensacola Beach. There's plenty of room to spread out and enjoy the sand, the sunset, and great live music every Tuesday night at 7. Let's have a rendezvous. This week, Gretch Lyles and the Modern Eldorados take the stage at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion, bringing country and rock and roll the way it used to be to Bands on the Beach. Plus, don't miss out on shopping at the Gulfside Market. It's Bands on the Beach every Tuesday night at 7.
News Radio Pensacola, a great blend of information from local government authorities, local news, businesses, and provocative discussions with great hosts.
Popular belief is that we start off with a great spirit. That's not true. When the missionaries came to deliver the gospel to the natives, they told the natives about God and explained who God was. And the natives said, "Oh, Ibafunga," because they were a monotheistic people.
Interesting, it was Chief Dan Skyhorse Helms talking with the Milton City Council last week about this. He did the invocation, and I don't know, I don't feel like I'm all that knowledgeable about Indian religion or philosophy, except for, and I hate to have to admit the truth of it, but, you know, what I've seen in TV and movies, you know, which is got to be worth about zero, you know, based on other expertise domains like how teaching goes on or how police work goes on, right? You just got to assume that basically everything you take for granted from TV and movies, whenever they're in, you know, because the people who work in the field that the TV show or the movie is about, they laugh at the stuff that happens in the TV show and the movie because they know it's not like that. It's not like that in a hospital, you know, not ever. It's not like that in a war, not ever. You know, rarely, like rarely they even come remotely close. Okay, so back to the point is I have to confess, I don't think I really know anything that I could rely on because when Chief Dan was talking about this, I was like, really? Oh, well, this is interesting. I'm interested. He was doing the invocation, and so let's listen.
And they explained, well, and there was Jesus, and they explained about Jesus. And the native said, "Ah, Hesekademisi." So things are starting to stack up here. Then they just explained about the disciples. And the native said, "Ah, the Hyology." So there are a lot of similarities in the Christian religion and in the monotheistic religion of sorts that the Native American people had.
So he's basically saying that, look, you know, folks came here to teach Christianity to the natives, and what they found is that the natives were already Christians, or maybe not exactly Christians, right? But, you know, sort of had a lot of the theological architecture, you know, ready for the resident to move in, so to speak. Like everything was kind of in the right place in the house. You didn't have to do tremendous reorganization in order for them to accept Christianity because they had been primed for it with some of the basic beliefs. And there's, by the way, there's a long history of, you know, kind of speculation. And, you know, some organized religions have views about like what would have happened after, say, the resurrection that, you know, maybe it's possible that there was a disciple sent over here, or maybe it's possible that Jesus himself would appear over here. All kinds of things are potentials. You know, if you read the story of like, you know, Philip, he's sent to the Ethiopian eunuch out of nowhere and then taken away out of nowhere. So, you know, is it sort of theoretically possible that God might have sent, you know, disciples slash angelic slash Christ himself missionaries to other parts of the world, other people groups outside of the Middle East. I mean, it's possible. The Bible's silent on this, so you just don't know what would have happened. But there's kind of been speculation along these lines. I'm not saying it happened. I'm just saying, you know, it's one of those sort of maybes, right? One of those sort of, you know, speculative possibilities. Anyway, what he said was,
and that it was very easily accepted by Native Americans to be a part of the Christianity. So tonight I want to offer up a prayer, and it's Hesakadamisi Megusupta, which is the Lord's Prayer in the Muscogee language.
So I thought this was fascinating. He did the Lord's Prayer, you know, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, as the invocation, and he did it in the Muscogee language. And look, whenever you're listening to something done in a language that you don't know, it seems a little long, even if it's short. I mean, this is 50 seconds, okay? But I thought it was really interesting, and so I wanted to share it with you so you could hear it. This is, again, Chief Dan Skyhorse Helms giving the Lord's Prayer as the invocation of the Milton City Council meeting entirely in the language that his tribe speaks.
Bathki halwi legiskat, jiho jifka ajagigas, jim omigigat alagigas, memo halwi nagi, komichki nomat itawome, yama igana omomikas. Nita atka daklegin mojaneta bomas moment boma wheatlin espumwegas a wheatliagiat esim wegagiat ida bomit nagi bunotki buegi dai eskitlida siboha yichis momes hawalgat esibo sages omigidat yichkidat moment lagi dat chinagi imongat omega amen.
That part I recognize. The last part I recognize, but I don't know, for me it was it touched my soul really to hear him do that, and to, you know, to hear about how aligned the sort of, you know, pre-theological, if you want to call it that, or, you know, pre-Christian kind of ideas that they had were with Christianity. So I don't know, it was a neat moment, and I thought I would share that with you. 542 here on News Radio 92.3. One of the other things that happened at the Milton City Council meeting, aside from the drama, oh, I'll get to the drama tomorrow. We got a lot of drama at the Milton City Council meeting over the proposed social media policy. I'll tell you, honestly, the reason that I'm not doing that stuff today is because last night I was going to prepare, and I always feel like you shouldn't talk about even a proposed policy that gets voted down 8-0 unless you read the policy. All the Civic Clerk website software servers, whatever, were all off last night. Escambia County, you couldn't look up any of their stuff. City of Milton, Santa Rosa County, you couldn't look up any of their stuff. Seems to be back on this morning, but that didn't give me enough time to do it. I was like trying to read the policy last night, and I'm like, well, I can't plan a show around doing something where I can't read the actual underlying policy. So that'll be tomorrow. We'll talk about that. But this is the part that I think we would all agree with, at least I hope. Mayor Heather Lindsay.
Whereas the United States of America has the greatest armed forces in the history of the world, and all who have served are owed a debt that can never be fully repaid. Military Appreciation Month reminds us to acknowledge the privileges of a democracy and the contributions of service members and their families and caregivers. And whereas General Douglas MacArthur cautioned, no man is entitled to the blessings of freedom unless he be vigilant in its preservation. And the United States military's vigilance supports our system of government and the freedoms we enjoy. And whereas President John F. Kennedy warned, guard zealously your right to serve in the armed forces, for without them, there will be no other rights to guard.
Kind of a couple of amenable, right? Very, you can say amen to these statements by these, the former general, of course, and by the former president. And then finally,
now, therefore, I, Heather Lindsay, mayor of the city of Milton, do hereby proclaim May 2023 as Military Appreciation Month. And I urge all Miltonians to honor members of the armed services and show appreciation for their families with appropriate ceremonies and activities.
Most definitely. 545 here on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. When you're thinking about that next vehicle, the place that Dave Ramsey recommends here locally is Frontier Motors. And me too. And I just, not for any other reason than the fact that, you know, I bought a car and had a great experience. Which, is enough, because when I've talked to enough other people, I've had the same exact experience. I think Frontier is a great place to go, in part because, like, the kind of car they sell really fits in with the process and the mindset that Dave Ramsey recommends, which is, you know, why would you buy a new car when you can basically own that same car a year later without having to pay the depreciation price of, you know, when you drive it off the lot, right? That first mile is the most expensive mile you ever drive. So buy cars that are a year or two or three, you know, old with low miles and great condition and good price. That's what Frontier sells. And then drive them forever. And then in 10 or 15 years, come in and get a new car, like a new used car, which is kind of the way I've been doing it. 300,000, well, 330 actually on my first Accord, and then about 200, I think, on my Civic 190, something like that. And then, you know, 200 or so on our Grand Caravan that we replaced with the Odyssey that we brought, that we bought at Frontier. After, you know, we bought it when our son was born, and then 15 years later, we got a new car. Like, that's the way we do it. And so Frontier is exactly the kind of place that fits the mindset and the, you know, philosophy of spending money that we use. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, right behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
Enroll today in summer or fall classes at Pensacola State College and join the 95% of PSC students who are going to school loan-free. PSC offers over 350 scholarships and more than 100 programs to choose from, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees in a format that best works for you. Plus, your education courses are guaranteed to transfer to Florida public universities. So don't wait. Register for summer or fall classes today online at pensacolastate.edu. Go here, get there, Pensacola State College.
Spring is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs and summer blooming plants, and of course, tending to that vegetable garden. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got spring gardening questions, we've got answers on the News Radio Garden Line every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9. It's sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
The following message is sponsored by the Florida Department of Elder Affairs, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Sarah is 64 and loves to garden. Recently, her health insurance ran out, leaving her worried about more than just weeds. She called the Elder Helpline and spoke with a volunteer Shine counselor about her options. There, she received free, unbiased counseling on health insurance for those on Medicare. For more information or to volunteer, call 1-800-963-5337 or go to floridashine.org.
When hurricanes approach, no one covers the storms like News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
And I said, I don't care if they lay me off either, because I told Bill that if they move my desk one more time, then I'm quitting. I'm going to quit.
I want to be a billionaire so freaking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
The King.
Oh, every time I close my eyes.
See, songs get dated. I see my name in 548, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Debt ceiling talks between congressional leaders and the Biden administration expected to resume this week. Speaking to reporters on Sunday in Delaware, President Biden said there's a desire on both sides to reach an agreement. Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, among other congressional leaders, expected to reconvene tomorrow to again discuss the budget and how to avoid a federal default. The mayor of El Paso, Texas, is praising the federal government for its response to the end of Title 42. Mayor Oscar Leeser there said on CBS's Face the Nation that Department of Homeland Security and FEMA both really stepped up to get his city the resources they needed. He said El Paso is prepared to comply with Thursday's ruling by a judge that asylum seekers need a court date before they're released into the community. And Republican presidential candidate Nikki Haley not taking sides in a recent lawsuit involving her party's frontrunner. When asked on CBS's Face the Nation about former President Trump being found liable for sexual assault and defamation, she responded, there's been a verdict and an appeal, and, quote, it stands where it stands.
I Yeah, it's hard to know what else to say besides that. I understand. All right, David, thanks so much for the update. Yeah, it's very interesting because the president, when asked over the weekend, you know, how you think the border is going since the Title 42 went away, it's interesting because, you know, he was sitting there with his bike helmet. He's like, well, you know, better than any of you expected. And I think you have to say that's true. If the numbers are right, and I don't have reason to think they aren't, the number of undocumented migrants stopped by Border Patrol last Tuesday, more than 11,000. Last Wednesday, more than 11,000. Last Thursday, more than 10,000. Last Friday, after Title 42 went away, right, which was the ability to keep people out under the COVID, okay, 6,000, 6,200, which is down almost 50%. And then Saturday was 4,400, down again. Say, how is it possible? Because we were thinking that if you got rid of Title 42, there'd be this flood of people because the Border Patrol wouldn't have the ability to preemptorily keep people out of the country for fear of disease. And if they're claiming asylum, which is kind of what Title 42 did, there'd be more in. Well, the answer is they put in place this system that says you can come in, but you got to come in by creating an appointment on an app. And it's only, what, 1,000 people a day that I think get slots in the app? So it's not a lot, but they're saying that if you come in illegally and get caught, that you'll be prohibited from reentering for 5 years. So the people on the other side of the border who are getting this message, if they are thinking to themselves, well, crud, you know, I don't want to be prohibited for 5 years. Maybe I'll get up in the morning and take my chance on getting a spot with an actual meeting on an app because that's the allowable way to come in. I'm not as likely to get in, maybe, but if the alternative is, you know, losing my chance for 5 years, I'm willing to wait another month or two or week or whatever. It's kind of the theory. So this seems to be, and I'm very cautious about this because you don't hear me talk a lot about the border, and I'll be frank with you. The reason is because I think it's very hard to know exactly what's happening there from a distance. I think there's, you know, there's a lot of reporting out there, and it's just, it's a long border. There's a lot of different parts of it, you know, and it's just, it's a hard thing to really be on top of and feel comfortable being an expert about. And I don't, so I don't feel like I'm an expert about it. And I don't like to talk about things that I can't feel at least some degree of competency talking about. But it seems to be, early reports seems to be, that this plan is working at least to reduce the number of illegal border crossings. And if that's true, that's a win. Now, we'll see long term. We'll see whether people continue to get frustrated. We'll see. But again, very tentatively, what the Biden administration is doing right now over the last week seems to be an improvement over what it was doing on, like, you know, Tuesday, basically, of last week. 5:53 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Oh, speaking of health-related things, the end of COVID, according to everybody now, have you heard about monkeypox? You remember monkeypox. Monkeypox was this mildly scary, because it's really not that serious of a disease. It just has, like, it looks ugly, basically, that was, you know, spreading like wildfire last year. You remember? Spread to more than 100 countries last year. And what did I tell you about monkeypox? You remember?
That we shouldn't call it monkeypox.
Yeah, that we shouldn't call it that anymore. Actually, they said you can call it monkeypox for a year, but it's going to be mpox eventually, and that's kind of what they're calling it now. But you shouldn't call it that. Oh, sure, that's true. But it was coming almost entirely where? From very, very high number partner promiscuous gay sex. Right? That's what I told you, and that's what all of the reporting had told you, that there were basically some sex parties in Europe, and that's where it all started, that's where the wild spread came, which is interesting because the disease has been endemic in some African countries for a while, but somehow or other it got out of there, and it got into Europe, and you had, again, gay sex parties, and then it was spreading all over the place. And since we know that there's a high rate of promiscuity among gay men, okay, that's just true. It was spreading a lot. And the question was, well, would this be like HIV/AIDS, that it would have a spread into the heterosexual community? And I said at the time, I think that's unlikely. It doesn't seem to behave like AIDS. It's not as dangerous as AIDS. It's, you know, lots of the reasons. But certainly a concern for, you'll remember we were having this conversation around Memorial Day of last year because we were having, you know, it's a high gay population comes to town and parties and we're kind of wondering what that would mean for our local area. Well, now it turns out that a year later, it's all over. Dr. Tedros from the World Health Organization says, that's it. We're done. Like, it's just kind of run its course. There's been 90% fewer cases in the last 3 months. It's no longer an acute concern. Whether through, I guess there's some vaccines out there. Apparently, I haven't really kept up on it. As the reporting is, scientists ultimately concluded that the unprecedented outbreak was tied to sex among gay and bisexual men at raves in Spain and Belgium, marking a significant departure from Mpox's typical pattern spread in Africa, where outbreaks haven't spilled across borders. There were more than 30,000 cases in the United States. And there's a little bit of a surge recently in cases, including around Chicago. And the theory is that it might be just kind of an ongoing entrenched sexually transmitted disease like there are so many others as well. But that the level of concern about it, the level of worry about it, my layman's theory is that an awful lot of people have gotten it. And the people who are in the communities that are spreading it rapidly have spread it. And they've acquired, they probably had it or didn't know they had it. And they've acquired immunity or they've been vaccinated. And there you go. We're done. So the World Health Organization says that the global outbreak is no longer an international emergency after a dramatic drop in cases in recent months. And, behaviors matter. I mean, just look, sexually transmitted diseases spread among people who have a lot of sex. So that's all there is to it. 5:56 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Back on immigration for just a second. I don't know if you saw this, but because of the transportation of illegal immigrants to other parts of the country, like Texas is sending them all over the place. In New York City, the Roosevelt Hotel in Midtown Manhattan, which has been closed for 3 years, perhaps in part because of COVID, right? A lot of your hotels, they had trouble during COVID because, they either couldn't really get people to stay there because of restrictions or New York, tourism was way down because New York was a closed city, but some of them would become like COVID wards. They'd kind of convert their facilities over to be, like soft level hospitals. Well, now the Roosevelt is being reopened and used to house migrants. And it's full, or at least that's the reporting, is that basically it's just, completely full because there are so many. New York has now got more than 6,500 asylum seekers, 140 emergency shelters, 8 large-scale humanitarian relief centers. In addition to that one, the mayor announcing the Roosevelt decision to reopen it. So just as an FYI, these are the things that are happening, at least elsewhere. And no, the Grand Hotel downtown is not open, not even for illegal migrants, not for anybody. We don't know when it's going to reopen, if it ever does. Candy, if you had to flip a coin and guess, do you think that hotel ever reopens?
No.
I know, right? Like, I feel the same way. Like, I want it to. It doesn't make
sense
to me.
Why is it there? I mean,
right.
It's just, you had some windows blow out during that hurricane, and oh, well, good on you.
Yeah, we're done. I mean, I keep hearing there was work done, and I keep hearing that they're going to try. But, every time I drive by, still closed. so I don't know. Oh, I saw the bridge lights last night for the first time. I hadn't been down there at night for whatever reason. I was coming home from, on Saturday night, sorry, coming home from Destin, and saw the 3 mile bridge lights. They are super bright.
Oh, that's good.
They are. Yeah. I mean, like.
Is it pretty?
The only thing that's disappointing about it is that when you're driving on it, you can't really see the lights.
Right.
Obviously, because they're on the side.
Oh, sure, sure.
But you can see them a little. I came from the Gulf Breeze side. I was coming home from Destin. And you can see them a little bit when you first approach the bridge. And then when you're on the bridge, there are some bends in the bridge a little bit. Like you can see it here and see it there and see a bit. Very bright, even from the parts you can see from on the bridge. And, of course, the arches are lit up. Mm-hmm. Which, I think it's gorgeous. I think it's different. Somebody asked, how much does it cost in electricity? Not very much. They're LEDs.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.